Students in New York City and many other districts throughout the country have returned to in-person classes today, and they're relying heavily on vaccinations, testing, and masks to stay safe. But many states are also squabbling over how to proceed with this second pandemic school year. In Florida, for instance, an appeals court has reinstated Republican Governor Ron DeSantis's ban on mask mandates. And the Department of Education is responding by offering funding to districts that have had their funds withheld by their state or are financially penalized for implementing strategies to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Let's break all of this down with NPR's education correspondent, Corey Turner. And Corey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tanya.
Yeah, thank you for being here. So millions of students are back in the classroom today. Many more started several weeks ago. The reality will obviously vary depending on location, but do you have a sense of how stringent precautions are in classrooms overall this fall? Does it depend on what part of the country you live in?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Tanya. It really does. I mean, the broader patterns to look for are really vaccination requirements. You know, we're seeing some districts, many districts, in fact, including New York City, begin to require school staff to be vaccinated, so the adults in the building. We've seen Los Angeles begin requiring students who are 12 and older to be vaccinated, though, honestly, a student vaccine mandate is still pretty rare. There are obviously masking mandates in lots of places. They've been a huge source of contention. And that's even though polls show consistently that a majority of parents support masking in schools. And then you also, in the intro, mentioned testing. And testing has been really hit or miss. And I think that's because what I've heard is it's hard to staff for schools. It's also hard for schools sometimes to get parents to opt in. It's something that we've seen really inconsistently across districts.
Oh, I can imagine. Here in LA, I'm watching it happen in real time. It's such a massive operation to test children every week. You know, something else, there's no remote option for the more than 1 million students who return to school in New York City. We're seeing this in districts throughout the country, making this decision not to offer remote learning. Why do you think they're making this calculation, especially as cases rise with the Delta variant?
I think the easy answer is that teaching some kids in person while teaching other kids online was a real nightmare for schools last year. It requires additional teachers, additional space. And I think when schools were making their prep decisions for August, September, they were making them before Delta had really kicked in. And also, let's not underestimate the importance for most kids of just being back in school around supportive adults, around their peers, you know, building their social emotional toolboxes. It is important. We also, though, need to make a distinction, though, between offering sort of voluntary remote learning for the semester of the year and offering remote learning now that Delta has begun moving into schools and kids are being asked to quarantine. So schools are offering remote learning. It's just there's a lot of improvisation. I've seen some schools have to shift teachers. You know, basically one goes online to handle the kids who are in quarantine while the kids who are left at school consolidate all into a different classroom. I've also seen some smaller schools with high enough infection rates, including among staff, simply shut down for 10 days with no instruction.
You know, the Department of Education has announced this investigation to determine whether Florida's mask mandate ban violates the rights of students who have disabilities. Similar investigations are underway in five other states. What happens if the department does find Florida in violation? Many people are just watching what happens down there. What's the penalty?
Yeah, so before we get to the penalty, I think people need to understand really the argument the department's making. So under federal law, students with disabilities have very specific protections. They're basically entitled to this right to a free and appropriate public education. But for some of these children who may be, say, immunocompromised, you know, their parents are reluctant to send them back to school in places where their classmates cannot be required to wear masks. So the department is basically telling these states, you may be violating these kids' civil rights. Now, honestly, the department's, to your question, Tanya, the department's best and only leverage is probably withholding federal school funding, which the education secretary, Miguel Cardona, has already said he doesn't really want to do because that hurts kids. If anything, the department's civil rights investigations may be most powerful insofar as they really lend credibility to the lawsuits that families and civil rights groups have already filed.
Corey, I have to stop you right there. There's so much to watch for there. That's Corey Turner, NPR's education correspondent, as always. Thank you.
You're welcome.